Turn now, please, in our Bibles to the fifth chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, page 717 in your Scofield Reference Bible, and we'll be reading responsively verses 15 through 18. Just a short passage because of the lateness of the hour, verses 15 through 18 of chapter 5 of the book of Isaiah. Let's stand, please, together for the reading of God's Word, once again reading these four verses responsively. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Now, this is the text verse, verse 17. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. And let's pray. Father, thou hast blessed us so in enabling us to be here and enabling us to have such a place as this together, in giving us a preacher of thy word. Thou hast blessed us. Now meet with us once again and bless the preaching and all those who hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's an interesting statement. Each lamb feeds after his own manner. Now this morning, as I looked out over you during the Lord's Supper time, I saw some of you that needed leading. I mean, your special diet this morning, your special formula is a heavy need for leadership. The young couples in this room this morning, graduates of Hiles Anderson College, waiting for God to lead you. You do not know in what state you'll be living 6 months from now. You have no comprehension, whether it be the north, the east, the south, or the west, where you're going to rear your children. You do not know what house you're going to live in, or what kind of a house it is, nor what kind of a place it is for your children will attend school. And you have a special need this morning for leading. Oh, how I pray God to help me not to lead you astray. Just before I walked out of the office this morning, a note under the door: Pastor, I've been called to be an assistant pastor in a certain church in a certain city and state. I've got to see you today. Oh, those words. I've got to see you today. I've got to see you today. I've got to see you today. Pastor, help, I need your help and counsel today. Here's a man, a married man, has children. Some of the sheep need leading. And then there's some sheep this morning here who need security. There's a husband who has cancer, and the wife needs to feel security while her pastor stands before her to bring the message this morning. There's a child here who has no father, and I'm his father image. And his mother says, son, you listen to what Brother Hiles says. You do what Brother Hiles says. And some of you even say, I want you to grow up and be like Brother Hiles. That's one of the students at the college has a picture of my face on the body of Superman on his door. And he brought me a copy of that this morning. And there I am, my face and my body, of course. And my body needs no changing for a picture like that. There's a child that looks up this morning, and he has no dad, and that child needs the security to feel like everything's all right because Brother Hiles is here. And there's an unmarried employee of one of our schools, a little lady maybe, and she's 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, or as old as Maxine Jeffries even, who needs security and needs to feel the security of the place, and that particular lamb needs that kind of feeding this morning. But as the lambs gather to feed this morning, there are some that need warning. I know a man in the church about to leave his wife and daughter and make a stupid, foolhardy kind of decision and leave the daughter without a father at home. And I've got to, that sheep this morning needs somebody to wave his hand and say, don't do it! Don't do it! It's wrong! Don't do it! And while some sheep need security in their formula, and some need leading, some need warning. A student about to go back home because you're homesick, and I need to wave my hands and say, don't do it, don't do it. And that's the kind of food you need. Or a young person about to lose her or his purity. Or somebody invited to a drinking party. Those sheep need warning this morning. And while some of you this morning gather to the trough to eat, you need leading, and some of you need security. Some need warning. Some of you need strengthening. Some of you have sinned, and you've tasted the tempter's bitter dregs of the cup, and you've sinned, and you never thought you'd do it. One little lady said to me the other day, "Brother Hiles, of all people, I never thought I would do it. I can't believe it's me. I can't believe it really happened." And so, repentant, she needs strengthening. She needs to know there's a loving Father in heaven who forgives her and cares for her and can rebuild her life. And so while we gather at the trough of feeding this morning, here's a little lamb needs some security, and here's one that needs some warning, and here's one that needs strengthening, and here's one that needs encouraging. Here's one that's homesick, who spent the first night away from home he ever spent. When I went in the Army in World War II, I spent the first night away from my mother I'd ever spent. And many of you, your first night away from home, and many of you are going to say goodbye to your moms and dads as they go back after a while or tomorrow or the next day. In some cases, your mother's going to get a tent and camp outside Hiles Anderson College all year long. But many of you, you're saying goodbye to your first student, or many of you are saying goodbye to your last child, and you need encouraging this morning. Or somebody needs inspiring. Somebody hates to go home this morning. One lady here this morning, she'll go home. Her husband will meet her with a stick, and he'll beat her across the back. She'll come tonight, and he'll meet her with a stick tonight. There sits on the second row in the front here this morning somebody who needs comforting. A man and his wife came to me last Wednesday night, and they said, "The doctor says our 2-year-old baby has no hope in the world. 60 days at most. Pastor, shall we keep the child on the machine or not? The doctor says the heart's going to go. A machine can keep the child alive for a while, but what can we do?" And then, "Pastor, the child has 60 days to live. Should we bring the child home or let the child stay in the hospital for those 60 days? Oh, those sheep need comforting this morning. I'm saying that there's a great host of people here today, and every lamb needs his own diet, and every lamb needs his own recipe. This morning, drive down Highway 30. When they get to the cemetery, they look the other way because there's a body out there that means so much to them. And some this morning have little bronze shoes on the mantle, or a picture on the wall, or an empty chair at the table. I was thinking this morning, I was praying early this morning, and I was praying for God to bless the people, and I prayed for our staff. I prayed for God to bless on the platform. You don't understand the burdens just on the platform alone. Brother Sullivan normally sits here. He's home recovering from a heart attack. Tomorrow morning, Brother Colston checks in the hospital for a week for test. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. He hasn't been feeling well. Mr. Lively normally sits over here. He's flown home to his mother, who's had her third brain surgery in recent days. They've had to cut across her face right here to get into the brain. And Mr. Lively's there with his mother this morning. Oh, my soul, my soul, my soul, some need comforting. Before I walked in this morning, I said, "Dear God, what can I do? How can I be?" In just a few minutes, all those sheep out there, all those lambs, and each has his own need and feeds after his own manner. And then some need extra loving. A little child this morning that nobody ever says he loves him. These people over here, I do not like to call them retarded. But it's the only language we understand. If I say educable slow, you'll think I'm talking about Dr. Evans. But when I say retarded, and these over here, they love to shake my hand. I walk out of the Sunday school class or come back in, they're over here. I walk out after the service, and these dear ones who are 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 and some as old as 50 and 60 with minds maybe 5 or 6 year old or maybe a 3 or 4 year old child. And they love for Brother Hiles to shake their hands. And sometimes they'll say, "I love you, Brother Hiles," and I need to give them loving this morning. There are little children here that nobody said, "I love you," to them this week. And they come as lambs this morning. They need loving. There's some that need chastening in here this morning, while some need the formula of loving and some of security and some of leading and some of warning and some of strengthening and some of encouraging and some of inspiring. There's some that need chastening. Some of you need a big spank across the spiritual bottom. I need to get a 2x4 with a nail in it and say, "Get out of sin. You know sin will not make you happy. Get out of it. Live right. Straighten your life up. You're going to go to tragedy and heartache and, oh, the price of sin." And in the same sermon, I need to comfort those who are afflicted and afflict those who are comforted. And then some need saving. Some are afraid to think of eternity and they need salvation. and some need wisdom. I think of that young lady that came to me one time, and so often they do. And she said, Pastor, she said, I've been asked to marry a young man. And Pastor, I'm getting up around 30 years of age. This is the first chance I've ever had to marry anybody. Now, Pastor, I don't know if I love him very much. I think I love him. I don't love him. I don't know if I love him enough to marry him. But Pastor, if I wait, I want to be a mother. And someday I want to have a family. And I don't know if I'd ever have another chance or not. And I said, Mabel, you marry Ray. He's a good man. and he needs somebody like you. And the Bible says, comfort the feeble-minded. And you marry him now and be good to him. But she said, how can I know? And there, she said, I'll do what you say. Oh, my soul, in these hands of mine, there rests the destiny of the lives of hundreds and thousands of people, and you gather to feed this morning. And yet, I want to call to your attention today, and I sort of preached to you backhanded just then to let you know I love you, but I want to call to your attention this morning one need we all have. There's one common denominator that on this September 1st, 1979, every person in this room has. Though the lambs needed different, each fed after his own manner, and though each lamb needs a particular formula, there are some things that all lambs have in common. One thing all lambs have in common, and that is lambs will not eat unless they're together. Lambs feed together. They feed as a flock. And that's why you ought to come to church. I mean Sunday morning, I mean Sunday night, I mean Wednesday night. I mean every time the doors of this church are open, you ought to be here. Why? Because you ought to feed with the flock. You'll learn more Bible on Wednesday night in 30 minutes than you'll learn all week by yourself. See? So you ought to be here. And there's something else about lambs. They like to feed often. Lambs eat a little bit, and they eat many, many times. And that's why you ought to come Sunday morning to Sunday school, a feeding, and then before you know it, before you leave the trough, get some preaching service on Sunday morning, and you come back on Sunday night about 6:10, and we feed again, the question and answer time, but a little more feeding we'll get at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, and then back on Wednesday night, and then in the radio broadcast, and then in the Christian schools. Lambs need to feed often. But something else about lambs, and that is, lambs will not eat if there's displeasure. Lambs all eat in pleasure. They only eat if there is a happy spirit. And that's one reason why we have a happy spirit here. We don't take the Bible like you'd feed castor oil to somebody. Take it now! Take it! Or make it where it's hard, and we put it put the jam on the bottom shelf and put the orange juice in the castor oil so it'll taste good. Isn't this a delightful place? Don't you love to come here? And don't you, one lady said to the night, I wrote me a letter, and she said, oh, she said, I had such a heavy heart, and the burdens were so many. I couldn't wait till I got to church on Wednesday night. And said, that was the Wednesday night that you're mad when you started out. She said, I wanted Brother Howells to cheer me up. And that's the Wednesday night you bawled us out because we didn't write the letters to Montgomery Ward because they had the nude paintings there, and you bawled us out. And she said, oh, I'm going to go away feeling worse than I did, and I came. And then she said, but the Bible study came, and you got back in a good mood. And she said, I felt so much better when I left. And I'm saying that we ought to feed in a happy place. But this morning, there's a need that all of us have, and I'm going to take a few minutes and give it to you. Please listen carefully. We all, this morning, have come to September, and we have a need that's the same. We're leaving the playground for the schoolroom. We're exchanging the picnic for the lunchroom. We're paying tuition instead of motel bills. We're trading family for schoolmates. We're all about to exchange a lawnmower. I hate to say this, a lawnmower for a snow shovel. I hate to say that, but we're going to probably day after tomorrow. That house that was a grand central station of beehive activity all of a sudden is going to be as quiet as a mortuary or as still as a sanctuary as the children leave the playroom at home for the concrete of the school ground. Traveler's checks are traded for bills and payment reminders, and friendly Bob Adams is on our mind more than usual. And so many changes. College students are leaving home, and some college students are coming in, and that'll change. And the fall program push is about to start in about another 5 weeks. And now all of a sudden, you have to look for a seat when you come to church, and the seat that you've had since 1824 is taken by some little old, well-scrubbed college student that shaves with a pair of tweezers. And it's your seat and it's your chair, and you've been here ever since Moses walked off over the Red Sea, and he got your seat, and now you got to change places. And this is September, the time of fall programs and the time of demerits and report cards and playground fights and spankings and swats and bills and teachers and parents and children. And it's the time when a church can become frustrated and backslidden. I mean, I'm talking about the busy hubba. I'll be glad when Wednesday morning gets here, and out yonder, all those hundreds and hundreds of students will meet in Howells Anderson College, John Byler Auditorium, and what an excitement, what a thrill, and how excited I am when I think about it and drive by the schools out here, and the grade school, and the junior high, and the high school, and see the boys and girls on the playground, and see the football team practicing, and see those lovely cheerleaders in their nice, modest cheerleading outfits, and realize our football team won 13-0, which lets the football players stay in school at least till the next game. And there's something exciting when I stop and think that in just a few weeks the fall program starts, and extra chairs will be down this aisle, extra chairs down that 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 aisle, and up the steps, all the steps, and across the front of the balcony, and we'll have thousands and thousands more people coming to Sunday school, and I'll say we had 20,000 a day, or 18,000 a day, or 21,000. I like that. I like the excitement of all of it. Yet the honest truth is, this morning I want to give you a few reminders. If you don't watch it, it'll be the worst time of the year, because you'll lose your contact and your sweet fellowship with God. May I suggest, and by the way, I don't want us to all have nervous breakdowns at the same time. It's so easy for us to get so busy and so frustrated that we, before we know it, just like that all the time, all the time. I saw one of our college teachers coming by a casket not long ago, and we're having a funeral here, and the college teacher obviously had rushed out here and left the college to get to the funeral service. And I saw that teacher walking like that. We're all going to be walking like that if we don't watch out now. And so may I give you some friendly reminders this morning. In the first place, wait on the Lord. This is the time of year when it's not as easy to wait on the Lord. It's easier in the summertime when not as much activity. But this is September the 1st, tomorrow. It's Labor Day, and then autumn starts, and before you know it, you'll exchange that sweet fellowship and walk with God for the busy hubbub of serving God and yet not spending time with Him. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray, in the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, my soul, the load is heavy for me, and the burdens are many. And there are more people that want to see me than I can see. And this week, I threw my hands up in the air. And I said, oh, God, how can I see everybody? 16 people wanted to see me in one day. I had to work that night and draw a budget up for the bus ministry. Had to cancel out 17 appointments that night. And 16 others had to see me. And I had to get a few hours sleep, or you won't have a preacher. And I didn't know what to do. And it's that. But I said this. I said, dear God, I don't care. I'm not going to cancel my time out with you. I'm not going to do it. I cannot carry the load I carry unless I take time with Him. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And there is no way in the world. Take all the vitamins you want to take. Take vitamin A and vitamin B and vitamin C, 6,000 units a day, and take ginseng tablets like I do. And take cod liver oil like I do, and garlic oil like I do. I wish you'd take the garlic oil instead of eating the garlic. It sure would help the platform an awful lot. take the vitamin B complex like I do. Go ahead. Take it all. And then watch your diet and get your exercise and have a nervous breakdown if you don't take time to wait upon the Lord. Nothing will take its place. Oh, listen to me. Bible class will not take the place of your quiet time with God. And Howells Anderson College, nor teaching at the high school, nor being on the staff or singing in the choir, nor being have the biggest class in the fall program, nothing will take the place of the time you walk with God and spend with God. May I say this also? So many things I'm passing over I want to say. Folks, in the busy time coming, I'm talking to our teachers now. Dr. Evans, I'm talking to you. I need you. I don't need you to crack up. I need you here. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, Mr. O'Clair. I'm talking to you, Mr. Staub and Mr. Lively and Paul Moffitt. I'm talking to you, staff members. I'm talking to you, teachers. Look, I'm not saying you'll take a lot of time off, but as I've said to many of you privately, I want you to have little M-I-N-I, mini vacations. I want you to take about 10 minutes in a busy day. Set the alarm or have somebody wake you up in 10 minutes and take about a 10-minute nap. I want you to take time to read the newspaper. I want you to sit down and take your shoes off. Not in my presence, please, but take your shoes off. Plop your stinking feet up on a hassock. Which one do you swing in and which one do you put your feet on? Hassock. I got a hassock and hammock mixed up. But either one of them be okay. I'll stick your feet up on a box or something and lay back and read the newspaper. Don't read the front page. Read the funny papers. Read the sport page. No, don't read that. If you're Chicago native, don't read that. But I'm saying, decide every week to have an ice cream cone at the same time. Look forward to it. Just eat one a week and lick it. Let it last for an hour and a half. Have your little ritual where you'd be amazed. I go all the time. I never take a day off. I never take a vacation. Not one day do I take off ever, 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 ever. But I take little mini vacations. You know what I do? I pretend that I'm a concert artist in Carnegie Hall. I'll get in my room and I'll go, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be. You don't know how many times I've sung the Messiah even. You don't know. I give a mini concert, and when I get through, I bow and I holler, Bravo! 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 You say, Dr. Jack Hiles does it? Yeah, sure. Nobody else likes to hear me sing. I like it, and God says he likes it, and Mother's not with me, and she's the only one that likes it. And, I'm simply saying, you just can't go like this all the time. You just can't do it. You got to take maybe 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. I was out in Casper, Wyoming. Oh, I was tired. Oh, my soul. I wanted to get away on the airplane and just get away and get alone. And so nobody could see me, and I didn't want to see anybody I knew. And sat down in the airplane, the fellow said, Hey, don't I know you? I said, No, you don't. No, you don't know me. He said, You're Dr. Jack Hiles. Boy, am I glad to see you. Oh, I wanted to kill him. I wanted to take a gun and shoot him dead or throw him out of the plane. And, or both. And I got out there. And, by the time I got to my room, 3 notes under my door. I've got to see you while you're here. I've got to see you. The church is splitting. I got people trying to vote me out. I got to see you. And so I picked up the menu, the room service menu that night. And I said to myself, Now, Jack, you're going to have to have some, just a few minutes for yourself. And I looked down. I had never seen it in my life on a menu before. A room service. Room service. In Casper, Wyoming. Combination Mexican dinner. Ooh. Ooh. And nobody was there to know I did it. And I thought, now that'll make me well. It didn't. It made me sick. But that'll make me well. It got my mind all clear because my mind got on my stomach, you know. And I ordered. I called and I said, What's on that Mexican dinner? And they said, Tacos and enchiladas and tamales and burritos and tortillas and all that stuff. And hot sauce. And said, There's not any kind of Mexican food you'd want. Not on that one. I said, Send me one. Quick, send me one. And like a lamb being led to the slaughter. So I called for it. Send me one. And they sent me. I turned the television, sat on, watched the news. And took my shoes off, took my socks off. Forgive me, even took my pants off. And put my pajamas on and sat there in my pajamas barefooted. And before I ate, I sang, south of the border, down Mexico way, there in a veil of light, by candlelight, we knelt to pray. For it was fiesta, and we were so gay, south of the border, down Mexico way. And I sang it, and the angels clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped. And I sat there and took about 30 minutes and watched the news and ate me enchiladas and tortillas. And then that night I went down and got me a gallon of dye gel. And I took it and I took it. Oh, listen. I'm not suggesting you do that. I do it about once a year. But I am suggesting this. I'm suggesting we need to learn how to relax. We can't enter this fall season all tensed up like that. We've got to, well, maybe I'll put it this way. We've got to enjoy God's handiwork. When I come to church every morning, I don't take the same route. This morning, I got up to 175th Street coming from Munster. I turned right on 175th. I went by Larry Stromberg, Miss Stromberg's house, where they used to live and where we saw little Sharon burn to death. And I spent a few minutes there. And I drove by all the people I knew that lived in that part of our church, in that part. And I drove down some beautiful streets that had beautiful trees. And drove up to 169th and I think, I forget what street it was, maybe Beach or Birch or Chestnut or Oak or Maple or whatever it was. Had a bunch of trees on it. And I drove up that street and wound my way. Another morning I drove down 173rd over to past Holman, down in there on Forest Lane down there, and looked at the beautiful trees and the homes and the flowers. You'd be amazed how much strength God would give you if you look at what He made. Be amazed. Look at the lake. Get you some stones, little pebbles, and throw them in the lake and see how long you can make the ripples. Go to the garbage can, get you some tin cans and the lids off of them and throw them for a while. Get you a rock and put it on the sidewalk and kick it and see if you can make it stop on the crack. And here's you can make it stop on the crack. Spend some time looking at the flowers. Or by the way, go out in the morning time and listen to the birds sing, the ones that God made for you there. Or look at some plant, or look at a beautiful flower, or look at a leaf for a while. I'll tell you what, you won't look at God's handiwork very long till you'll hear somebody behind you saying, you like it? I made it. You made that? Yeah, I made that. God likes to be with people that enjoy what he makes. I was on an airplane. I looked across the aisle. Would you believe it? I couldn't believe my eyes. Absolutely couldn't believe my eyes. A lady was reading a book, and it looked like it was one of mine. And I said, what are you reading? And she said this. She said, this is called Blue Denim and Lace. I said, is that a good book? She said, it is wonderful. I said, do you know the author? She said, no, but he is smart. Woo! Hallelujah. And I said, let me see his picture. She opened his picture. It's got one of my old pictures on it when I was in junior high school. And old pictures on it. And I said, I'd like to introduce yourself. I said, I'm Jack Hiles. And her hinges broke on her neck as she looked over to me. She said, you wrote this book? She said, you'll never know what this book has meant to me. And I said, try telling me. And she told me, I bet you this afternoon, if you'd walk out and look at some tall, stately tree and say it's beautiful, I bet you the Lord would look down and see and say, that's one of my children looking at what I made. I bet you the Lord would come up beside you and say, you like it? I love it. Why don't you try a weeping willow tree? Maybe one that's beside a lake, and look at its reflection in the lake. Why don't you take time to see how the moon is shaped tonight? Why don't you take time to look at the stars? Oh, God has made so many things for us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is September. I hesitate to take a whole message on something this simple. And yet it's not simple. This is September. I don't want, I pray so often, Mr. Mitchell, I want you to be well. I want that stomach problem to get well. And I don't want our teachers, Dr. Evans and Mrs. Evans and your family and the staff members at Hiles Anderson College and all the teachers at the grade school and the high school and all you parents that have all the bills stacking up and every time you, oh man, well, folks hate you, you know. They say the tuition out there is so much, but the notes come every day. Bring $15 for erasers. Bring $6 for pencils. Bring $4 for snowshoes and bring $3 for extra equipment. And you know, by the time you pay everything you pay, the tuition to our grade school is $17,416 a year. Did you know that? And you look at your child and say, I think I could sell you and get something for you. I can't afford to keep you. Now, beloved, I'm your preacher and you're my people. And this is the autumn time. It's the time when tempers can get a little quick and patience can be a little short. It's the time in waiting in line to register. It's the time when the teacher is unfair to your child or the parent is unreasonable in her his or her expectations for you as a teacher. It's a time when, once again, you sit in the audience and look up at the soprano in the choir and say, look at her singing up there. She flunked my kid on that test yesterday. Hypocrite. Yeah, it's that time again. And it's the time when every one of us ought to say, lest I backslide, and lest I get cattywampus. I hate to use Greek words, but anyway, lest I get cattywampus, and lest I get short of temper. It's a time we can backslide. And so why don't you just say, I'm going to take time with my God. I'm going to take time in His book. I'm going to take time on my knees. I'm going to take time enjoying His handiwork. And I'm going to take some time throughout the day, throughout the week, where I can refresh myself and be refreshed. I said a while ago, I carry a heavy load. In recent days, the college budget has had to be drawn up. I've had to spend time with Dr. Evans and Mrs. Stevens and the college budget and the high school budget with Mr. Staub, Mr. Lively, Mr. Moffitt, his budget. And then the grade school budget. And then we spent hours lately on the changing of the bus ministry. And I have need of all these things. I have need of leadership. I have need of security. I have need of warning. I have need of strengthening. I have need of encouraging. I have need of comforting. Linda's little baby is a month old, is in the hospital this morning, has been for 3 days. And they're taking tests to try to find out what's wrong. They thought for a while it was meningitis, but they don't think it is. But Linda has not slept in the bed in 3 nights, and she was so sick just a month ago. And Brother Sullivan, he wonders how much he can get back to his schedule. And Brother Colston, this good man here, I thought this week, surely this good man will be comforted in the hospital this week. Surely God's going to be very special and near to him, because he's been so comforting to so many thousands of people through these years. I'm saying all of us have needs. Now let me say, beloved people, my people, let's take time with God. Nothing else will take his place. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear calling on mine ear. Don't forget that voice. And don't forget that garden. And don't forget that prayer closet. And don't forget to have fun. And don't forget to laugh. And don't forget to tell every joke that you hear you think folks would like to hear. And don't forget to enjoy life. And don't forget the ice cream cone. And by all means, if you do forget the Bible, if you do forget the prayer, if you do forget the meditation, by all means, don't forget the Mexican plate. You need that desperately. And let's just relax now as a people and lean on our God and say he's still on his throne and God's still in heaven and everything's all right in my Father's house. There's a God in heaven. He loves me and he cares for me. And so this morning we come and we have all kinds of needs. We have all kinds of needs of feeding after our own manner. But on September 1st, 1979, we all have one need, and that is we need to be tranquil and rest in the Lord and be peaceful and hear the still, small voice and walk with Him and wait upon Him. There's no other way. I know. I know. I know.